Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near to you. The word is near. In your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord and believe in your heart that God has risen him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who upon call on his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how then they hear without a preacher? And how then shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of God, of good things. But they have not all, except verse 16 of Romans. No? Okay. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord on who has believed of a report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That was 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. Sorry, I lost my place as well. I get so used to reading from the screen. Meanwhile, I have it open in my Bible, but then I just somehow, it's just... So Paul continues his appeal to the Jew, because it's always, salvation is always to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles second. He has already shown them that they have numerous opportunities in the past to enter God's salvation. And I think about the songs that we were singing today. And I think about the one scriptures, how do they come to the Lord? Right? If they have never heard about the Word of God. And I think about how God, the Holy Spirit, really draws us to himself. It's not that we ever sought. Why would a sinful person ever want to seek a holy, righteous God? Because you were quite content in your sin. You were satisfied in your sin, and you were like, well, I just love it here, even though I'm miserable. We just sometimes you love our sin more than being set free. But the Holy Spirit always is moving. And he opens up our eyes of our heart so that when we do hear the word of God, it really captivates us. Like, can you remember the first time you heard the word of God? I can. I remember the first time I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking, and I was like, well, you know, growing up and going to the Catholic school, church, right? And then you're like, well, because you do all the religious things. But I knew there was a God, but I didn't know you needed a personal relationship with him. And then through all the troubles, things of my early age and mid-20s, then I think about how the Holy Spirit was drawing me to him, softening my heart. And it wasn't until I heard the word of God that I was like, man, that was what I was missing. we know what we're missing. People know what they're missing. But they're sometimes so hard in their hearts that they don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. And I think about the soil. Are our hearts today hardened? Are they soft? Are we allowing weeds to grow up in our hearts? Are we allowing the worries and the doubts and the fears of this world to choke out the Word of God? Or are we allowing the Holy Spirit to take away those fears, worries, and doubts? To make our hearts soft and pliable. To be our nice, rich soil. Like a nice, loamy soil, a nice black soil that things, a seed will grow immensely. And it's the Word of God that's actually growing, because He's the one hit. We speak the Word of God. We share the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows that Word of God to grow. How is our condition of our heart today as a child of God? And it's like, Lord, if my heart is hardened, soften it. Because I bet you when the first time you heard the Word of God, I bet you were excited. Do we still have that same excitement? Because when you heard the Word of God, you're like, want to tell everybody from the rooftop. It's like, I met the Savior of the world. And sometimes we get complacent. And the Lord just comes, like, so for granted. Maybe that's the word. You get complacent of always being with them that you take them for granted. Are we at that place in our lives today? Are we taking Him for granted? To be too granted or granted for? I'm not even speaking English properly today. Sometimes we take Him for granted. Because we know that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never abandons us. But sometimes we walk away from Him. One of the most common misunderstandings in our day is that the man somehow cooperates with God in bringing about salvation. People believe that they must be good or to be accepted, or they must be doing certain things to please the Lord and earn His good favor. However, that's not the truth. I know we sung, Lord, I come as I am. We do come as I am. But he doesn't want us to stay how we are. He's going to transform our hearts to be changed. So we're not the same as how we came. That we would be transformed and renewed in the image of Christ. And that we would share and be transformed. Because none of us, I don't think, want to be the same as we are. I don't. I want to grow deeper. I want to know the Lord more richly. I don't want to be the same as I was yesterday or even this morning, but I want to be continually growing and knowing Him and to fall in love with Him more so. So Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. There is no difference, for we all have sinned. This is the point. For we all have sinned, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom set forth the preparation. So He bought us by His blood. There had to be a sacrifice. So that we cannot boast about salvation, that we have to realize that it's not by works, not being good, because we can never measure up. You know, just even like repentance. You know, in the Catholic Church, there's repentance. You can never measure up. There's a lot of New Age people. So if I'm good enough, I'll outweigh my wrongs and my sin. You would never measure up. How will you know how much you need to do to cover your sin? You can't. Only the blood of Christ could actually take away your sin. And he's the only one that gives you his righteousness. And he also justifies you, just as if you never sinned. That's the as a follower of Christ, that's the only thing that we have, is I'm justified because of Christ, just as if I never sinned. And he makes me holy and righteous, not because of anything I have done, just because I have surrendered to him and I trusted and depending on him. How many of us have sinned even today and fallen short today? There's at least one honest person here today. Right? It's like, Lord, thank you for your mercy. And it's because of repentance, it's because of God's love, he draws you to repentance. Not to condemn you, but to repent. Right? So Romans 10, 14 to 15, well, I don't have it, I do have it up there. But we're going to work kind of backwards, maybe. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So Paul paints a picture of progression that must proceed in order for a person to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. So Paul is talking about looking at it backwards. It's like, who is he sending to preach the word of God to those who had not heard the word of God? Because he talks in 4:15, he says, right? He talks about how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Shall they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? But if you look at backwards, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Who is supposed to be sending? Who's God sending to preach the word of God? The believers. All of us. We all have a gift. And as we share our passion and love for Christ, when it's genuine, not be religious, but true, genuine faith and sharing our faith from our heart, how we receive Christ and how the Lord sought us and brought us out of darkness and out of shame and guilt. And when we share that with other people, then they're like, wow, I want to know that, Lord. Because I bet you some of us have shame and guilt that lingers in our lives. And only the Holy Spirit actually takes that away. And as we share it with other people, we can say, this is how he saved me. How he took the shame and guilt away, that I don't need to swim around in it. I think of a pig, you know, in the muck. You know, we don't have to roll around in it. We don't need to beat ourselves up. Just come to me. He brings healing and restoration, even restoration between people, as we repent and get right with them. We will all blow it. I'm going to blow it. Paul says the person that cannot hear about Jesus unless someone preaches the message. So we go further. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people. Who has John 4? It's John 6:44. Who did I give John 6:44 to? Eric. So that scripture that I didn't seek the Lord, he sought me. As we read in Romans 3, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. Right? We all, from birth, from the seed of from Adam, we all have the sin nature in our lives. And only because of Christ, he redeems us. Those who put their faith and trust in him. So then the next the natural question arises, who is sent to preach? We all said that. We are. And sometimes we're scared to share the truth. I think if we share the truth within the body of Christ, we get naturally share it in the word in the church. We get used to talking about our faith with other believers. I believe that encourages us to share our faith with people that don't know Christ. Right? I know my boss, he's like, I said I booked time off for the VBS. He goes, what's a VBS? So I told him. And he's like, oh, my daughter would love to come. Right? But he goes, I never will come to church. We've had times of talking about the Word of God, but I know God, he sees. He talks. We talk. But he knows there's a difference when I'm not being religious, but being genuine in my way I talk to him. But I don't look down to him. Because we all have sinned. None of us were born perfect. How are we influencing people in their lives in a godly way? Are we being godly examples to people? Sometimes we're not. But we're not perfect. But we are being perfected. And we are being transformed. We are being renewed in Christ. So when you blow it, I know we will, don't let the devil get a foothold in your life to drag you away and you have to have a pity party. It's easy to say that. It's another thing to walk in it. Psalm 104. 5 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us. That was 2 Corinthians 5:20. So Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's when Jesus was talking to his disciples. The Holy Spirit will come upon them. Right? But as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit infills us. And gives. And he's a resident. He reigns in our bodies. These bodies that we have are God's temple. And we reflect. It's not our light. It's his light shining out of us. I always remember, you know, that you have a glass. I know Pastor George used to do this a lot. But have a glass, and I did it for Sunday school as well. You have a glass, and it's all murky, and you add a little bit of solution in it. It's getting clearer. And add a little more, it gets a little clearer. Just think about the garbage in us. The sin. When we start dealing with sin and dealing with stuff in our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, and that the light of Christ starts shining more so out of us because of our walk and our faith in Christ. He's cleansing us, purifying us. as we surrender. You know, the follower of Jesus should proclaim the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the salvation of God that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. So who's the preacher? Not me. Well, maybe on my end of it. But we're all preachers. You know when Paul says, you know, just the your footsteps, your feet, in verse, as written, how beautiful are your feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings to good things. You know, Isaiah 52:7 speaks of that. So Isaiah 52:7 is a reference to what is being said in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We have good news. We have awesome news. We have great news. We have news that could actually set people free. It's Christ that sets people free. You think of how many people are in bondage today, how many people, drug addictions, substance abuse. How many people are trying to overdose because of the hurts and pains that we have? The good news of Jesus Christ is he sets people free. And as for a believer, you know, sometimes a believer can get into that rut too. But that's why we are in fellowship with other believers, to encourage and help us and pray for us. Come alongside of us. I remember last week we talked about Matthew 9:35-38, when we talked about the harvest. There's a harvest out there. Because of people longing to know, what do you think New Age is growing? There's a lot of hurting people who want to know what peace is. They don't know how to receive that peace, but they're seeking. They don't know the right thing. Then this New Age stuff comes along. It sounds good. Especially, it doesn't sound so good when you got to look into yourself for inner peace. That's kind of depressing. Because in our own strength, it's not peace at all. It's turmoil. But think about the peace that Christ brings us and who he gives to us. But then people, so it says, you know, when we pray for the lost, do we have a heart for the lost? Are we praying for the lost? Is the Holy Spirit stirring in our hearts to pray for the lost and to share the good news that what we have? Do we share that good news? And then Jesus sends out the disciples in Matthew 10. He sends them out. He's sending us out. And how we all minister is different, right? It's not a cookie cutter, but just sharing, being open and honest. What does Mark 16:15 say? Did I put that up on there? Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a part of the great commandment. We're all supposed to share the good news. How do we evangelize as an individual or a church? Ask the Lord. You know, the Lord wants to stir us, and he desires us to step out. Sometimes we make good excuses while we don't step out. You think about Moses. Moses was a great speaker. He was. Yeah, you read the word of God, it says he was a good speaker. He made excuses to God that he needed Aaron to help him. He was a good speaker. He knew how to speak. He was raised in a priestly home, godly, not a godly home, but his dad with the Pharaoh, his stepdad, or his dad, whatever you want to say. They give him all the stuff that he needed to be a good speaker. He just didn't want to do it because it was uncomfortable. When we're in the most uncomfortable places, what do? Retreat. Right? For an introvert like myself, I like to retreat. But it's like every day it's like, Lord, I want to share the gospel. Help me to share. Bring whoever you want in front of my life every single day. The Lord will bring whoever he wants us to speak to or share with. Right? It's like, Lord, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to share. And he brings. Right? It's to me, it's more, I think God does that because he knows the condition of those people's hearts, that they're ready to receive the good news. Do we share the gospel with passion? Do we share with conviction? Do we share how God has been transforming our hearts? You know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That when I knew when God was drawing me to himself, I knew there was a God, but until I heard the word of God, then my eyes were opened up. Because man, that was like, wow, that's what I have been missing. Right? Because I had other believers in my life, so-called believers in my life, but they never shared the word of God because they were in the same sin that I was in. Acts 15, 7 and 9. Who has Acts 7, 9? Acts 15, 7 and 9. The Holy Spirit who's doing the work. What's First Peter 3:15? We got that one. Yeah. Right? With meekness. Sharing the word of God in meekness. So salvation comes from a saving faith, a trust, recognizing that before we come to Christ, we're sinners. You have to realize that. Before you come to Christ, you are a sinner. Separated from God. No amount of works, no matter your good behavior, whatever, could never cover up your sin. Could never deal with the root of sin. That you need a redeemer. That you cannot be saved without receiving Christ as your Savior. Because he's the only one that can purify you. To cleanse you, to put you in a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. So we confess your sin. And placing faith that comes from hearing the word of God. All before this, the Holy Spirit is at work, preparing the soil. Think about the soils of people's hearts. I think about the parable of the soil, the rocky soil, right? And the all these different types of soil. It's like when I started thinking about this, it's like, Lord, help me to pray for the person's heart so that it be softened. So I think of people that I know who are unbelievers. It's like, Lord, I pray that you soften their hearts. You would prepare their hearts to receive the word of God. And the Lord, that you would take away the blinders of their hearts so they would see the truth of the gospel. Because it's a spiritual battle, right? It's a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 talks about there's a spiritual battle going on that we don't even recognize. And so when we start saying, as the Holy Spirit leads you into how to pray, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm praying that you would soften that this person's heart, make it pliable, make it so they would hear the word of God. And Lord, I come against the scheme of the enemy that tries to blind them from hearing the word of God or seeing the word of God. There's a spiritual battle going on. It's like, Lord, help me to pray for this person. How do you want me to pray for this person? Does that make sense? Think about how many people we know that aren't saved. And I desired that they would receive to know what sure hope is, what it means to be, to have peace, have eternal joy. Because we know without Christ, they're not going to be in heaven. No matter how much good they have done, how much they gave, no matter how much they came to church. Because there is people that are unsaved that go to church. Going to church doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves you. So, saving faith is a firm conviction and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. As a believer, we sin, and so it's not about repenting onto salvation. It is when we sin as a believer, it's being right with God. And so there's no blockage. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. It's about relationship. It's not about salvation as of a believer, but it's relationship. Right? Saving faith is accepting and receiving and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. Saving faith means submitting to and relying on Jesus as a resurrected ruler of heaven and on earth and as the Lord and Savior of your life. It is God who saves. Unfortunately, not everyone bends their knees here on earth. You know the sad thing is? They will bend their knee in heaven when they face him. Ephesians 2:8-9. Do that. Did I get that one too? Ephesians 2:8-9. Right? I was going to read John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, it's like whoever, doesn't matter what background, doesn't matter where you're at, it's the whoever, believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came in initially, to save the lost. But we know in tribulation, in Revelation 19, he comes back to judge the world. Romans 10, 9 to 10. How about Romans 10, 14, fella? I think you're the last one. Yeah, you. You're not shy. That was, yeah. Did I made the mistake? Oh my goodness, I'm setting you up for failure. Sorry. I wasn't the right one. Thank you for reading though. I'm sorry, it must be the hood boys that lead you astray. I don't think he gave you the right scripture. Romans 10:14. Yeah. Oh, so I led you astray. Well, there we go. So there we go. See, I make mistakes. Oh, well. That's good, though. We all make mistakes. Uh-huh. So I think about Revelation 3:20. How about Bella? You can read this one. I'm not leading you astray this time. Okay. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, this is the Lord, and opens the door, and I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. I think of it's about communion. The Lord wants to have communion with us. And I know I think about how he wants to spend time with those who are his children, and he doesn't want anybody to perish, and he wants people to come to know him, to a saving knowledge of him, to trust and depend on him. I want to read in Romans 1, 16 to 17. Romans 1, 16 to 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, to faith, as it is written. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 2, 4, I like the second part, so I put, I'll read Romans 2, 4, see if I can find it in my Bible. Well, I know the first part says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness? So forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Right? So we know God is long-suffering and his forbearance, that he doesn't want anybody to perish. That the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It is God who leads us into repentance. And as for the believer, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, to get right with him, so there's no blockage. And for the unsaved person, it's him drawing, so they will repent until salvation. We all need the Lord. We can't do this without him. And as we close in prayer, just think of people right now who we know that aren't saved. And just ask the Lord, Lord, soften their hearts. And Lord, that you would use me for your purpose. Because he puts the words in our mouths. We don't have to worry about what to say. But trust him. But say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory and for your purpose. Father, I just pray for the friends and family that we know, who we've been praying for salvation. And Lord, you would show us how to pray for them. Lord, that you would soften their hearts. Lord, to just take away whatever it is blocking them from receiving. Lord, that you would take away their pride. Father, that they would recognize that they are proud, thinking that they have not sinned or they're not bad enough, that they need a redeemer. But Father, they would recognize that they need a redeemer to be saved, to receive salvation that comes from Christ. I pray, Father, that you would soften people's hearts, that we know that, Lord, that they would be able to see the truth of the gospel. And Lord, that more of the life of Christ would manifest through us. And Lord, that we would speak with meekness and humility, but without compromise of the word of God. And so, Father, we just pray that you would give us the words to say and how to say them. And Father, even the actions that we ought to do for these people, Lord, that they would see the transformation that you have done in our lives, that it would be a testament unto you, like how you are the one who's doing the work in us as we surrender and yield to you, Lord. Lord, that we would be the Bible to them. And Lord, as you draw them to yourself, open up their eyes, Lord. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection over for everyone here today, Lord, where there's discouragement. Father, where there's where they have not seen answered prayer, it's been being prayed for the longest time, Lord, that they would be encouraged, knowing that you still are at work in people's lives. Lord, I pray that you would bring refreshing to everyone here today in this congregation. And Lord, that our walk with you would grow immensely. And Lord, that we would walk by faith, trusting what your word says, depending on your word and applying your word to our lives. And Lord, help us to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name.